Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. I am very pleased to say we're joined by Dr. Stephen Lambakis. He is, among other things, the author of a very important piece that we will be discussing with him in the next few minutes, a product of the highly regarded National Institute for Public Policy, where he is, among other things, a senior analyst and managing editor of its comparative strategy. He is also the author of Foreign Space Capabilities, Implications for U.S. National Security. Among other publications, On the Edge of Earth, The Future of American Space Power, among them. I couldn't be more pleased to have a chance to talk with him about this great paper. Steve Lambakis, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Frank. It's a pleasure to be here.
So there are, I think, people in this country who know probably what you do about space, but the vast majority of us probably tuned out when we stopped walking on the moon, more or less. Give us a sense of what's happening there. You know, there's been a lot of talk about not militarizing space. Is that generally the practice of nations that are hostile to us?
Well, it is the practice for a few of them, at least. Some of them are paying a great deal of attention to U.S. space operations, in large part because they are the reason the United States is such a dominant military power. You know, makes sense. They're looking for a way to sort of undercut that advantage. So, yes. And, you know, since the time on the moon, space has actually become a big deal.
For both national security and commercial reasons, as you make clear in your paper. And when you say that they're paying attention, some of them are not simply observing what we're doing or simply appreciating how important space is to our situational awareness and command and control of our forces and the like, Steve. But it's also something that they're actively working to neutralize in terms of our advantage in that area. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I think that the central message of my report that just published is that, you know, threats to the United States, our space systems are advancing at a rate that outpaces actually what the United States is doing to mitigate those threats. Okay, so for decades we've been treating space as a benign environment, despite some activities during the Cold War. You know, we've had certain development activities. The Soviets had certain development activities. With China's 2013 launch, they launched a ballistic missile type weapon towards geosynchronous orbit. That has caused the Department of Defense, I think, to have a sort of a counter space reawakening, is what they're calling it. And so we've taken steps to passively protect our systems, but there's certainly more that needs to be done.
And when you talk about a ballistic missile, you're basically saying it's something that could lob, for example, a nuclear weapon, I suppose, or perhaps some sort of anti-satellite weapon to the altitudes at which some of our most important space systems operate, right?
Right. And of course, we have very critical assets in geosynchronous orbit, Earth early warning communications satellites. And these are the big strategic assets that we are very concerned about protecting.
And if we were to have those compromised, how serious a degradation would it impose on our military capabilities, particularly to project power?
So on the military side, we have reconnaissance and, you know, high-resolution intelligence satellites that help us with planning and delivering of tactical intelligence. So these are vulnerable to not only attacks by direct ascent ASAT type weapons, because they are so low from Russia and China, but also from countries like North Korea and Iran. We have a ballistic missile defense system that depends on early warning satellites that are in high Earth orbit or geosynchronous orbit. So these could be blinded, dazzled with lasers and degraded to some extent. And they help us to detect and provide initial track information.
Okay. So with all of this said, and much more of it at greater length described in your new paper, Foreign Space Capabilities, Implications for U.S. National Security, Dr. Stephen Lambakis, let me ask you, when you sort of cast your eye at what the United States is doing, how close to the challenge are we in terms of having the kind of counter space capabilities that you're talking about? For example, what are our space launch capabilities? Should we need to reconstitute constellations of satellites that are taken down, or simply put into space kind of capabilities that might help protect those assets?
We don't have a very good responsive launch capability right now, though it's understood within the Air Force that we need to get there. It'd be nice to be in a position to replenish our assets should they be taken down, to make the entire architecture more resilient. There are other steps that we have taken, however, for with our global protection system satellites, the GPS, that are so important to our daily use and to the military, which also uses these satellites for precision guided weapons. They have spares on orbit, and they have a fairly robust constellation. So to some extent, we are prepared to lose some of those satellites. So it really depends on what constellation you're talking about. For right now, is a fairly long turnaround time to get new satellites into orbit.
Let me ask you about one particular aspect of capabilities that we're seeing the Chinese developing, and that is satellites, and I think even space stations and space planes, that all seem to have as common denominators the ability to take on military missions, and perhaps through maneuvering towards our satellites or jamming them or blinding them, be able to alter what's happening there in space. Again, our situational awareness and particularly military capabilities, perhaps. But beyond that, there's also the possibility of projecting power from space. Do we at the moment have anything remotely like those kinds of capabilities? And if not, should we be getting them?
Well, I would say that at this day and age, we have primitive space application of assets, a space force application assets, and so do the Chinese, and so do the Russians, and the North Koreans and Iranians. They have ballistic missile capabilities, which put payloads into space. They travel through the space environment, and they come down through space on their targets. Beyond that, the United States does not have such other types of space force application assets. But these other ones are quite serious and need to be addressed. And of course, that's what our missile defense system is for.
Do you anticipate that with this awakening, as you call it, this counter space epiphany, that those kinds of capabilities are now in development by the United States? And if not, should they be?
I would not say they're in development. I think we're still, working through this problem. What I do think that we need is just two things. We need to have a stronger deterrent strategy, because currently we have what they call a deterrence by denial type of strategy, which is the use of passive defenses, mobility, redundancy in our networks and so forth, essentially to frustrate the adversary, because there are so many out there. Maybe we're leveraging commercial systems or allied systems for communications or navigation, and that's a good tactic, but I question, is that enough? I think that we need to add a little bit more emphasis to our deterrence and emphasize a deterrence by punishment approach. That is a complicated thing to do because we don't necessarily want to be attacking adversary assets in space. So we need to give that a good, long, hard look. We also, I believe, need to look at space-based interceptors. I think these assets would be critical not only to our missile defense mission, but also to satellite defense. They're in the ideal environment, I believe, because the entire Earth and the space above it is the battleground.
It is indeed. That's really a critical insight, and one that I think those of you at the National Institute for Public Policy are so helpfully contributing to our understanding of. Steve Lombakis, I appreciate this chance to visit with you very briefly. We've only skimmed the surface, and I hope that we can do so at much greater length in the near future. But in the meantime, I commend to everyone at NIPP.org, Foreign Space Capabilities Implications for U.S. National Security. Steve, thanks so much for your time today.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.